call the meeting in order.
We need to call Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
Did you grab his phone number? Yeah, that's.
Since we're dialing up Wayne here, Wayne is from the board. He is not unable to make it to the meeting, but we agreed to let him, he can listen in. He will not be part of the quorum, so he's just requested he listen into the board meeting. But again, we cannot recognize him as part of the board meeting tonight.
Just tell him that he got a different haircut, we can't recognize him now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, he's speaking.
Hey Wayne, it's Karen at Great River. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
All right, we've got you on the phone, and Randy just explained your attendance situation, so I think we're ready to go.
So is there a motion to send the bill to Wayne?
My apologies if this is a handful. I just wanted to support the cause. I'm sorry I couldn't be there tonight.
No, Wayne, we appreciate that your effort that you're doing here, even to listen in on the board meeting. So again, we call the meeting to an order at 6:03, and I need an adoption and amendment of the agenda.
I'll motion that.
I have a motion from Laura. Need a second?
Second.
Second from Mike. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of minutes on page 3. Request action for the approved of May 15th, 2018 board meeting.
We approve all three of them at the same time?
One at a time.
Yeah, I think they have to be one at a time.
Good question.
I'll move the May 15th meeting.
All right, I have a motion. I need a second.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. June 19th, page 9, the board special meeting. I need a request to approve that one.
I so move, Mr. Chair.
I got a motion from Eddie.
I'll second.
I got a second from Jane. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. On May 15th, 2008 Personnel Committee, that's on page 13 of the packet. I need a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mike, a second.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Public open forum, do you have any?
Anybody? I don't think we do. No, we're good.
All right, thank you. Moving on to 5, financials. This again is a request for action on the bills, an addendum that you says they're on the table, but we didn't.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. They look like this.
This is a single
sheet. Right, okay. So you want to take a minute to look over them? And then I'll ask for a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mike. A second?
Second.
And a second from Dave. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Financial reports. I'll be asking for a motion to accept the financial reports. Mary, I have a motion from Mary. I need a second, please. Second from Laura. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Consent agenda. It's on page 15 in your packet. Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I'll be asking for a motion. If you want to take a look at that. I need a motion, please.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion. I need a second. I have a second from Jane. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 2019 work session, page 27, I believe, in your packet.
To approve the schedule.
I have a motion from Jeff to approve the schedule. I need a second.
Second.
Second from Ed. Any more discussion? Moving right along. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Anything else? Madam Board Member? Board? All right. Communications. All right. State report acceptance letter. page 29 in your packet.
Just provided for your information. They accepted our report.
Any questions? It's not a motion, Adam. Mary.
Move approval or
no? There was that's not an action item.
It's just information.
Just informational.
What are we looking at?
Page 29 is an acceptance letter from the Department of Education saying they received our state annual report, and it's some background information about public libraries included in that. You can access all of the reports at the link that's provided, not just for Great River, but for all libraries in the state.
Any more questions or for discussion? All right, moving on to 7.2. Anything else in communications?
Nope.
Okay. Presentations.
Nope. They'll be part of Kimball.
Okay, all right.
We should get there fairly quickly.
All right, we're moving. All right. Executive Director's Report, page 31 in your packet.
There's no updates to what's provided there. We do have strategic plan progress included in all of the updates. Later on, we'll talk about the LSTA grant application. That's in front of you. And we're still working on scheduling a security committee meeting, but it's a moving target because
haven't
we picked August.
Did we pick it yet or no?
I said the 16th, but I know not everybody's going to be able to make it. So maybe after the meeting, if we could, the security committee people could meet with me after, we can maybe talk that through a little more. And I think that's all for the executive director's report.
All right. Any other questions for it all? If not, moving on to 9.2. I believe it's page 33 in your packet. Manager's report. Strategic plan progress. I bet that's Brandy, huh?
Brandy's here.
I'm here for Kimball, but yeah.
All right. Put you on the spot.
We have all of the updates for the strategic plan incorporated there. There's a lot of good things happening around the region. Brandy's and help manage getting a good handle on what we're doing with technology services, and you can see that data on page 34. That's been really interesting to watch because there were a lot of assumptions going in that people needed help with e-books. That's not necessarily what people are asking for. They do ask for that, but the primary help topic has been around basic device support, basic computer help. The people who are coming to ask us questions need some really basic level information, and we want to get our staff to the point where they're all comfortable serving them when they come through the door. So that's something that Human Resources will be working on in the coming year. I don't have any new updates since the reports were printed. Did anyone have any questions about what's there?
Sure.
Mary.
The request for tech services, are they coming from anywhere specifically, or are they by age group, or?
We don't track borrower information that way for the requests. So requests are from regular patrons in general.
Well, you said basic. Many are basic.
Oh, you
questions.
Mean the technology help. Okay. Do you want to speak to that, Brandy? Because I'm not out there.
Okay, is this on? Yep, yay, okay. We do keep stats on them. I just didn't include all the stats that I had in the report in that because I wanted to make it manageable. But we do look at borrower type, and through that we can identify, if we know the borrower type, if it's a minor account or if it's an adult account. And the vast majority of people who are coming in for that sort of on-site right now, didn't set an appointment, tech support, are adult. And anecdotally, based on what my staff are telling me, a very significant number of them are 55 and older, too.
Any other questions at all for Brandy?
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
All right, thank you, Brandy.
Summer reading program appeal, I should mention, just broke the $4,300 mark last week.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about that. Our goal is $5,825, which was the cost of delivering the program next year. We hope to achieve it. It's already higher than what Stu, our consultant, had predicted we'd achieve this year. He had set this year's summer reading program target around $2,600. Wow. So we're doing fairly well.
Good to hear.
We haven't put a lot of energy behind that appeal. We don't want to over ask, and we're ramping up into a different angle with our fundraising. So the Fund Development Committee talked a lot about that appeal and decided to keep it kind of low key this year. We only mailed to 299 individuals, but donated four. And our new coordinator started yesterday. Today was her second day. Brianne Johnson is our new Communications and Fund Development Coordinator. She has a degree in communication studies from St. Catharines University, and she has a minor in nonprofits and fundraising. She was so motivated about nonprofits and fundraising, she actually worked with St. Catharines University to create the minor and is now being offered for other students. So she's got a lot of passion and drive, and we're really excited to have her on the team.
Anything else? If not, we'll be move on to 9.3, building report. I believe it's page 41 in your packet.
That gives you a pretty good picture of what's going on around the region. We're still working with the city of St. Cloud to get the final details worked out with the circulation desk. We're hoping that not only serves our patrons better, but it'll help let us see the lobby a little better and help with security. The final step is approving a contractor for the electrical work that needs to go into the desk, and that's been sent over to Public Works for review.
If I may, how are we coming along with the lease contract?
The lease. Ryan and Rachel should be here because they had a meeting with the city of St. Cloud last week to set the budget for the St. Cloud building, and that's done as part of their department budget process every year in July. And so they talked a little more about the lease. We sent them our version, if you recall, early May. We're still waiting to hear their response back. But based on the questions they were asked, they're clearly looking at it in detail and doing some cost analysis. So I anticipate we'll hear something back fairly soon. It should be tied into their budgeting process as well, because some of those changes would be a substantial change on their part, but we have not received any official word at this point.
Thanks. Any questions on the building report at all? Other questions? Second quarter statistics, I believe page 43.
The most interesting part that we've been looking at is the online catalog requests are continuing to increase. We aren't seeing a corresponding trend in circulation. So that means more people are putting more things on hold. But for whatever reason, it's not generating more items checking out. So Jamie's looking at it to see if there's something we should be doing with local collections and increasing our browsing collections and making them a little better when people come through the door. Maybe a sign that people are not finding what they need when they come into the library. And so that's something she's looking into. And Brandy is spearheading the borrower work group that is looking into some of the root causes behind why the borrower numbers still seem to be declining at the rate they are. If you look at our circulation figures, they're declining, but not as quickly. So one theory that I talked to someone over at St. Cloud State who's into statistics, and his theory was perhaps this is an indication that our high-level users are using us more and our low-level users are using us less. That's one theory. We're not really sure what it is, but we're definitely digging into it, but that's because that's a number we were hoping to have stabilized by this point in time in our strategic plan. Programming attendance is skyrocketing, though, and we expect to, you know, if it continues on pace, we'll have more than 100,000 people who have attended our programs by the end of the year, which is a significant increase. So people are using us differently. And then if you look at circulation statistics, you've got April, May, and June there. June has got the year-to-date numbers on it. You can see our digital usage is still pretty flat. Total circulation is looking like a minus 2.6% amount for physical materials, but some libraries are seeing significant upticks. And then I did make note in the summary on page 48. There are a few libraries that are showing a slight decline, but places like Eagle Bend last year were seeing like a 20% increase in activity. So you might see an 8% decrease right now, but they're still significantly higher than what they were 2 years ago. So
they have major road construction right now. On
yeah.
Main drag, so.
And yeah. They're still circling higher than what they were 2 years ago. So that's the story you're not seeing on that page. June is our busiest circulation month, and I was surprised to see as many libraries down as what they were. I think some of that may have to do with the number of Saturdays versus the number of Fridays. And so we'll see what July and August look like. The most of our activity happens in July, August, June, July, and August.
Mr. Chair.
Carrie.
Question for Karen. Do we compare ourselves to other regions in Minnesota or nationally? Or
we always look at that. We're hard to compare because of the way we track our stats. Circulation, physical circulation nationally and at the state level is down. That doesn't mean we have to accept that as our fate. So we recognize that part of this is a function of the shift to digital materials. Part of it is people are just busier and they're spending their time differently. Part of it is our economy is really good, and in the height of the recession, that's when we were the busiest. And so I would expect if the economy takes a big swing the other direction at any point, we would likely see a pretty dramatic change quickly.
Any other questions for Karen? Right, moving on to HR reports. 49, I believe.
Yep.
Question I have for there, if you may. Sure. When you say we have recognition reports, do they get like a certificate of 1 year, or is it just kind of they put a name of it on the wall somewhere? Or
the
what?
Board actually approved a policy years ago saying at 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, and I think 20, 25, every 5 years after. There are certain prize levels or okay. gift levels, so they get different gifts for different years of service. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what they all are.
How
I can
long
get
ago
that.
Has that been since they looked at that?
Quite a while.
Because we just looked at it in our county, and we let the staff or the workforce decide what they wanted. We threw out one program and brought in another one that's more acceptable today to today's staff that you have.
Oh.
Which we're hoping that we'll retain some workers because of that.
I'll mention that to Julie. I mean, right now, I think we've changed the gifts. I think what's in policy is the specific levels, but it might be time to look at that because
yeah.
people do want to be recognized differently than what they did 10 years ago.
Right.
Anything else on the human resource report?
You should take a look at the exit interviews. They are pretty interesting. Julie's department does a nice job of kind of summarizing the data. People like working here in general, but we are seeing more people leaving us for full-time jobs. It seems to be a trend. And we do have a lot more people making comments about wages than we had, I think, in prior summaries.
Any other questions for Karen on that one? Anything else in the staff reports? On the committee reports, Finance Committee. Action on the Finance Committee.
Mr. Chair and members, we met just prior to this meeting, and to highlight what we covered, we approved the Great River Regional Library 2019 budget proposal. It's on the agenda later on our agenda for action by the full board, so we'll speak about it more then. Approved the second quarter financial report. We are at 43.997 10% spending. We approved the patron amnesty proposal that you discussed last meeting for a two-week window in September to offer people an option to come back and revisit us and get their fines waived. We also approved the unassigned fund balance designations proposal and the priority list that the staff presented to us. Did I miss anything, or would you like any more detail?
What changes?
To
the priority list?
The priority list,
we removed the priority two reference, I think.
We removed actually priority one and priority two reference, but the list that they presented to us, we approved as they presented it.
In that order.
In that order, yes.
All right, that's an action item. I'll need a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion and I need a second.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Mary?
Are we approving the designations proposal?
That's part of the report.
Part of the whole finance report.
Yes, these items totaled $259,410, which the six-month, the amount above the six-month reserve is $336,693, so we're not agreeing to spend all of it, but approved these items for the staff.
So the items that run over for 3 years or so, whatever it is, for example, Blue Cloud. So that includes the 41,610.
Yes. That includes that total amount.
Total.
All of the ongoing expenses, we feel like we need a 3-year evaluation period, and then we would either bring it forward as a department budget request, incorporate it into existing budgets, and maybe cut something else, or decide to discontinue it at that point. So it'd be a 3-year evaluation period for those projects that are ongoing.
So we would have carry forward for over the 3 years from this year's.
It'd be for 2019, correct?
Well, these are designations, okay. So they're independent of the budget. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So with a 3-year designation, assuming we'd get them up and running at the beginning of 2019, we wouldn't likely be talking about incorporating them into an operating budget until probably the 2021 or 2022 budget year.
Mm-hmm. And if I may, the question, and correct me if I'm wrong, let's say on the modules, you have a based on a $47,000 over 3 years, that's what the total of the 259 is.
Right. Well, and with acquisitions in particular, there's a lot of... Most of that designation is the startup cost. It's $6,000 annually. $6,000 in a $9 million budget in 3 years, we are likely going to be able to find a place to incorporate that because it's going to result in efficiencies. So it's hard to say, yes, we will do this because we really don't know what's going to happen until we roll it out.
So this would include kind of an estimate of staff costs for startup?
Oh, this is just a subscription cost.
Although we anticipate that these would increase productivity and
it may
eventually lost.
Especially with acquisitions, that positions us so that we could maybe do local selection, which we're not able to do right now. So, you know, Robbie out in Elk River can't individually pick books for the Elk River collection. We have it all centralized, which is fine and good and works fine, but a lot of the people are one-time positions here in St. Cloud, and this sets us up so that more people have access to that function. Right now, it lives in like a Microsoft Access database, which may or may not be supported in a couple years in that format. So this gets us, so it's actually integrated into Horizon, which is what we use to check out books. And so it's a more seamless process for how we buy books, get them into the catalog, and check them out to patrons.
All right.
And Any other questions? I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on, second page on the library services technology. This is not an action item.
No, I would, if the board's so inclined, I would appreciate a motion to accept it. This was what we talked about, and I asked for action at the June work session, permission to sign and submit an LSTA grant application. You guys did that on good faith, that we didn't have an application to put in front of you. We submitted it last Friday. That was the deadline. So the timing with this board meeting didn't put us in a place where we could actually ask the board to act on it. I can tell you that we feel really great about this proposal. We had to go out and get partnership letters as part of the application process, and that it's not required, but it kind of gives us a good standing with the grant reviewers. And I sent it out to Partner for Student Success, Career Solutions, and Central Minnesota Adult Basic Education. And I had two of the three letters back within 24 hours signed, because other partners are very excited about the potential for this project. So the other piece I wanted to point out, you can read in detail what the project involves. It will be a big project. If you go to page 15, the estimated project timeline is there. It's very ambitious. But because Great River has such a diverse staff, we're able to take segments of the project and say, okay, the people who are best at doing early literacy in children's, they're going to focus on this part of the project. And HR is going to help us with recruitment, and communications is going to help us with marketing. So we're in a really good position to do the work. And the project adds capacity because it allows us to pay for staff coverage on the desk so that other staff can go out and do the work in the community. It also would add a position. We're hoping to add a Somali library navigator, so someone who's fluent in Somali, to do some outreach work and family engagement work within the community. And then we also structured the grant, so there's four prongs. So we might not get the whole grant. They might decide to fund this activity, and we did chunk it out in that way. One of the activities is doing a diversity training for the entire staff as part of our all staff day. I don't know if any of you attended the St. Cloud Chambers Diversity Conference out at St. Ben Center, but the leadership team went to that in April, and Cultural Fluency Associates actually did a really strong presentation there about implicit bias and how you can serve, how you might not realize the biases you have when you're working with an individual, maybe based on your financial background, like your wealth background or your religious background, and what you bring to the table and what other people are bringing to the table. And it was a really positive training in a way that was concrete and approachable. So we're hoping that, if nothing else, that we're able to bring that in as part of the grant. And I mentioned that also because on page 20 is the budget sheet. And you'll see there's cost share amounts in there. There was some concerns from this group is what are the tails with this grant. So the cost share for salaries and wages, I did put in the grant because we have budgeted to do all staff day, but I felt it was important for the grant reviewers to know that we do have skin in the game, that we would be contributing in some way toward this. And the other cost share part was around the technology licenses. But that is something we would likely have to do anyway as we expand the number of devices in our device management system in IT. So those are the two cost share amounts that are listed. Those are things we would likely have spent regardless of whether we get this project, but it is something I wanted to acknowledge in the grant. In terms of sustainability, with the cultural navigator position, should we get it, Partner for Student Success, one of the resources there suggested that that would be a really good VISTA program down the road. So we did write that into the grant, saying that would be another grant we would likely pursue if this is a successful position here at Great River. So that's the pieces we built into the project. And if you have more questions about it, feel free to ask. it was a lot of people pulling a lot of things together, but it did come together fairly well. There's $585,000 available from LSTA, so we will likely not hear about this for a couple of months, but if we do get grant awards, it would be mid-September, so it might be before the next Great River Board meeting, depending on how the notifications turn out. We would also be expanding our mobile laptop lab to add a second one, and Career Solutions is very interested in us partnering with them because the Workforce Center has reduced the number of stations that are over there for people to file for unemployment. And part of the project's pieces, we are moving forward already. We're going to be looking at getting some of our staff certified through Achieve so that they can actually provide training for daycare providers, and that those providers would get continuing ed credits to count toward their licensure. That doesn't cost us anything to do, but it might take 6 weeks for that to process. So we feel like in order to be ready, if the money does come through in September, we want to position ourselves so that we're ready to go. We just sent over a piece on job and career resources at the library for Career Solutions to include in the dislocated worker packets for the Electrolux workers. So it will actually be in their unemployment materials when they're going in to file for job resources and job searching. We are also working with them to develop an online library card registration process for those people so that they don't have to worry about when they walk in the door whether they'll be able to use a computer. All of that will be taken care of. They'll have a card in hand, and they can just come in and start using the library computers. So some of the pieces are already starting to move forward because some of these pieces would be independent of the grant regardless.
The information, we're going to be making an action item. Then I'll ask for a motion and a second for any more discussion. I have a motion from Mary and a second.
Second.
Second from Jane. Any more discussion?
Question.
Mary.
Mr. Chair, did you say that the state unemployment office, or whatever they're called, they've reduced their services?
They reduced the number of computer stations. I don't know the logic behind it. I'm not as involved with that. And I've learned a lot about some of these entities, and I still don't know exactly how they all work together. Like Career Solutions used to be Stearns Benton and Employment Training Council. They're a separate entity from the Minnesota Workforce Center, but they're stationed in the Minnesota Workforce Center. So there's a lot of different entities at play.
And all or most of them government funded?
Yes. Stearns Benton Employment Training Council, now Career Solutions, is actually a joint powers agency. I joined their program advisory committee a couple of months ago. We're looking at whether we should also be an MOU entity, because they do have a memorandum of understanding with a number of entities in town, like Adult Basic Education, so that it's clearly defined who is providing which services. But I'm not sure if it makes sense yet for us to have that formal of a relationship with them, so we're still exploring that.
However, we did talk about trying to make sure that we're not overlapping services with other. In fact, Jeff, I think you brought it up to make sure that we didn't duplicate.
Right, and fashion. We've been very careful about that. Other things I've learned, like Central Minnesota Adult Basic Education. At first, I thought I was working with District 742, but that entity actually serves as far out as Long Prairie. So we're learning more about how some of these entities actually have a reach very similar to ours and how we can work together better. So I anticipate once we've got this online library card registration process figured out here at the St. Cloud Tech College, we'll likely be able to replicate that in other places too. But it takes a little bit to figure out who to talk to,
yeah,
and then how it works within their structure.
Or doesn't.
Well, so far, it does. Like, they've been very excited
to
work with us so far.
So it's a similar setup over in the Monticello Workforce Center with the, over, you know, that's Wright County.
Yeah, Central Minnesota
Minnesota Jobs and Training. They have a similar. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see how this goes. I don't know about that MOU with
about it. I'm on the joint powers board for that one.
If you have insights on how that all works, I got the document and I'm like, whoa, this is a lot more than I can do in a month. So we're focusing on one piece at a time. Like the program advisory committee, that makes sense. You know, we want to coordinate programming and we want to talk to employers. But how far we want to go into formalizing the arrangement, I'm not sure yet.
I think it's great to be in on the Electrolux, to be part of that packet, to offer the services that we have here just with computers is good for those employees.
It's interesting because it's services we already are offering. So why not extend it to people who already have the right to use it? They just don't know that it's even there.
Any more questions?
Mr. Chairman, I think Karen wanted a motion to
recognize it. We got a motion in the secondary. So any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Friends of the library, new Kimball Library building.
And we have guests here.
We have some guests here. If you'd like to come up to the microphone, please. And that's in page 57, I think it starts in your packet.
Well, I'm Megan Kiffmeyer. I am on Kimball City Council and also on the Friends of the Library. And I'm here with Dorothy Kirsten. She's our secretary on Friends of the Library. Our group has been working for about a year now with a separate task force to come up with a plan. And in your packet is what we have for a plan for our new building. We're very excited to be at this point after going through I don't know how many revisions of the plan, and just excited to share it with you guys and hopefully get your approval on it tonight. Are there any questions on the plans that we have?
Looks like a nice layout.
Thank you. Good job.
What do we actually approve tonight? What do we approve, the plan or the?
If I'm not mistaken, the Kimball group is hoping to apply for a grant from State Library Services to support this building project. So it would be helpful for them to be able to say in that grant application that the Great River Board supports us, that we are moving forward with this project, and we may need to fill out like some type of letter of partnership or recommendation as part of that project. So I think this is a really good step toward that. In the past, Great River has approved building projects like this, so that, you know, there's a check and balance in terms of the services we provide and the facility being offered by the city.
So a motion would be that we endorse or approve the proposal,
right,
and would be willing to offer support for the grant request.
Yeah, it's not a cost thing or like that. Just
no, I know.
It's just a support. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'd make that motion. Whatever I just said.
You get it, Patty?
No.
Song.
So it's just
we accept and approve the proposal, and we'll support it, providing endorsement if it's appropriate for their proposal for
floor plan project
plans, or for the grant.
All right. Do you have that?
I think it sounds good.
Yeah, there you go.
I have no idea.
Okay, I need a second for more discussion.
Second for discussion.
All right. Any more discussion?
Yes, I just have a question as far as the floor plan. I didn't have much time to look this over, but as far as security, which we're talking about, and we have a new floor plan in front of us, are we okay with security issues here, or?
You want to speak to it, Brandy?
Sure.
You were a point on that.
Yeah. So, great question. We did go round and round with that. Security, a single entrance is preferable. However, with the layout of the land, there's really no way to have a single entrance and still make the building be accessible and open to the community. You kind of, because you've got to have a parking lot in the back and the community, the rest of the town is in the front. And so you kind of almost have to have those two entrances. So the compromise we worked on and worked with it is that the way that the entrances are now, they come in from the side, so there's clear visibility from the circulation desk to both of the doors. Nobody's coming up behind staff. it's very, very visible. There's also, with the windows, plenty of visibility around. So in that way, we felt like the visibility was such that we felt like our security concerns were addressed in a good way, and still made it so that the city was able to work with a plot of land that is a beautiful location. If you've driven out there, it's really gorgeous. It's very exciting. And it just felt like a really good give and take between the city and Great River on how to address concerns in both directions.
Where is it from the high school? 15 and 55?
It's one block east of the high school. There was a large empty lot there. Part of it will probably be developed commercial, but we're in a residential half of the property.
On the north side of 55 or south?
It is south of 55. It's about a block south of 55.
Okay. Thank you.
If I may ask a couple of questions, have you acquired the land yet? Or?
Go ahead.
Yep. They actually closed on the land purchase this past week. So the city owns the lot now.
Okay, because I didn't want it to slip away if that's right. The case. So what is the dollar amount that you're going to be totally going? Because obviously $25,000 isn't going to build you a building.
No, I believe right around $800,000, but that didn't include furnishings.
You
and then we're going.
When you're
going
to have that, trying to get that money, like, you know, 10 years, 2 years?
I think it's by the end of the year for the grant. So it's pretty aggressive.
Mr. Chair, what is the, just so I know, this is 4,200 square feet, correct? For
yes.
The new library, how much is the old one?
About 1,300, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah. Significant.
Significant.
Yes.
Sure.
Some of the longtime board members may know that we've been sharing concerns that we have with the existing facility that were outlined in the library assessment plan around the size, accessibility, sound control, all those kinds of things. One of the things that I'm personally just so excited about this for is that because it's a new build, all of those accessibility issues are taken care of. Everything is to code, and I'm just so excited about it. I mean, you know, really, Megan and Dorothy are kind of underselling themselves because in saying that they've been working on it for a year, because I've been in this in my position for 8-9 years now. I've been working with the city of Kimball since the day I started in this position on the library facility. So this has been a lot of years, a lot of people's efforts to get to this point where we can come to the board and say,
hey,
yay, this is really great.
I have one more thing to add. We will be having a Meet the Architect event next Monday night at Willow Creek Park, and we will do a demo. He has it all on YouTube, which isn't available to the public yet, but it looks pretty exciting. And so you're invited. The event will run from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Monday, July 23rd, at the Willow Creek Park shelter. And I'll pass out a little notice for you now. Like to see some of you there.
Thank you.
Well, she's passing out the question again on this grant. Is there a match or something like that at all?
Yep, it's a 50-50 match.
So if it's 800,000, 400,000 will be the grant. Where's the other 400 going to come from?
Our group is working on fundraising also. They have so far targeted a few businesses and individuals within our community that they want to approach. The other part, they're working on plans as far as what kind of fundraising they want to do.
You have a timeline? So let's say the grant, and I hope
yes.
The grant is accepted.
Yep.
They're going to say, okay, you got 2 years to come up with the additional 400, or, you know, do they have a timeline on that? Do you know?
There is a timeline, but I don't know what it is right now. Yep, there is a timeline. I'm not sure exactly what it is. They do also take in-kind donations, so if we have people in the community that want to use, like, their business to do some of the building, that can count towards the donations also.
Well, it's a great thing that all the participants are doing this for Kimball. Sounds like a very powerful project that
mm-hmm.
you guys can put together.
Yep.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And I want hats off to Kimball for this, because we had the challenge with the historic building. The limitations you can do there, you can't make it ADA accessible. You can't do this, you can't do that. You can't expand it from what it's at because you historic building. And I believe that the people of the town
and the Friends of the Library and everybody in that community has stepped forward, and they really want this bad, and they're going to make it happen basically come hell or high water. It's happening. They want it, and I applaud them for the effort they made, the vision to know that this is the future of town. This is, I think the layout is nice. I think the security concerns, like you say, you're going to see everybody coming in both sides. And I just look forward to seeing one real nice building for that community.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything new in your district, is it?
New. Good one. I was wondering if you were going to say
something. Just think what he would have said if it was. He'd still be talking.
All right. Any more discussion? I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. All right. And now we're back to the budget proposal. And that's page 65, I believe. And I'm going to be asking for a motion and a second for more discussion.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion.
I'll second.
And I have a second. Any more discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that Karen should give a short review for the board members that weren't present.
Sure. So, 1 minute. Okay, I will try to be fast. You've probably seen the preliminary budget in the last couple of board packets. We incorporated the changes we discussed at the June work session, including increasing the state aid to $1.6 million. The bottom line result is a 1.28% increase on the total budget. That means something different for each of our counties, so I think we should acknowledge that. If you turn to page 71, there's a box on the bottom of that page, and I apologize, it's really tiny. That's the best we can do with the Excel sheet to make it show all the information. The gray, green, and gray box on the very bottom of that page shows the change in the total dollar amount that each county will be spending for 2019 for library service. On the far right, you can see the total dollar amount change and the total percentage change for each county. Because we increased the state aid budgeted amount, it decreased the total amount share for our counties. So even though we're seeing a budget increase, four of the six counties are seeing a total budget decrease. And Sherburne County is only seeing a $42 increase. So you're kind of at that balance point this year. The total county share is actually reducing by 0.348%. But it plays out a little differently because of the way the formula is weighted. And a reminder, the formula is one-third borrower numbers, one-third population, one-third tax capacity. And so Wright County is still seeing a pretty big bump compared to the rest. That's because the tax capacity has increased quite a bit down in that county. There's been a lot of building going on.
Not to pick on Benton County, but I'm going to pick on Benton County. Is it because the users are coming across the river to Great River Regional Light rather than going to Foley? Is that why their numbers are?
Benton County borrowers, 80% of the borrowers in Benton County use St. Cloud Library as their main location. They are the only county that works quite that way. There's only one library physically located in Benton County. That's the one in Foley. Most of the people who use the library who are from Benton County use St. Cloud.
St. Cloud, Becker, and Royalton.
Right, right. It's an interesting travel pattern, but it's partly because, you know, St. Cloud also lives in Sherburne County. It lives in Benton County.
Right.
It's a uniquely positioned
where it
city.
Sits.
And it goes back to the agreement they had when they built the library here with the city of Sauk Rapids.
Right.
That they will never request to have a library in Sauk Rapids. Because Sauk Rapids is, you know, a city of 15,000 people.
Right. And they said that as long as the new library, this library, was located in downtown St. Cloud. So that was part of the... They actually passed a resolution or an ordinance. I think it was a resolution
yeah.
at that point in time.
With the cities of Sauk Rapids and Sartell.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Any more discussion? I have a motion and a second.
Just a clarification. Did you say that Sartell passed an ordinance?
Sartell was in on that approval too, right?
I don't know. I just know there was a specific reference to this Sauk Rapids in the building materials for this building.
Yeah. So.
But with the stuff that was going on with Sattel, as far as I know, there has never been a statement submitted like that where they said that they would not ask for, because they were asking for a library.
Because I know, but long time ago when this was first formed, there might have been some discussions way back then, but on talk, but not on paper.
Okay, so there's
so it might not have been a formal action, might have been just a footnote.
And Benton. Sartell lives in two counties as well.
Because what Sartell's coming forward is something completely new.
So there is no agreement, or was no formal agreement?
There wasn't an
agreement. With Sauk Rapids, there was, for sure.
Sauk Rapids City Council at the time actually passed, I don't remember if it was an ordinance or a resolution, but they took action on it. I don't know about Sartell.
Any more discussion? I have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Anything else with unfinished business, Karen?
No.
All right, moving on to 12. New business, communication and fund development policy. 89 in your packet, I think.
This is a pretty big overhaul. I did run it past the Fund Development Committee and Stu from Library Strategies because it's such a big overhaul. In 2012, the communications and development policies were updated. They were made they were trying to protect the brand at that point in time. And so there was a lot of things saying, you need approval for this, you need approval for this. We found that's not the most effective way to run our communications and fundraising departments. And so this is the final step in the public relations overhaul, so to speak. This loosens things up so that if a library services coordinator in St. Michael wants to contact the local media, they don't have to worry about getting in trouble, as long as they're working within our strategic plan and our guidelines about how to communicate well and how to represent the library well. And so that was the big changes in the communications pieces. The fundraising pieces are setting us up so that we are in a position to actually accept planned gifts. We went to a planned gifts training recently, and so some of the language from that workshop was actually incorporated into here. And I think that was probably the biggest change. A lot of the language also goes back to what it originally said in 2006, some of our foundational documents. Those were some of our earliest versions of the policies where things were a little looser and I think worked a little better in terms of being able to manage a local library within the regional brand.
Question I have for you now, you know, we discussed this couple, 2-3 years ago. If somebody from, let's say, Kimball wants to give money to the library, but they want it to stay to Kimball and they don't request it, it'll come to the whole general fund. Is that correct? How that
works? It could. Most of the time, they do designate. Okay. So, like locally grown, most of those dollars that were collected in that campaign were designated for local funds. Aaron and his department actually track a gift fund for each library. So when things are designated, they are keeping track of the receipts, and then the local staff are spending out of those accounts. So those are managed separate from the operating budget. And then all of the fund development receipts, at one point in time, the general fundraising fund was a revenue line in Great River's operating budget. And a few years back, we took that out because it didn't function well that way. It didn't allow us to say annual appeal dollars go to X. And so by creating that as a separate funding stream and separate expenses, we're able to say we're using our fundraising dollars for binge boxes. We're using our fundraising dollars for, what the locally grown projects, like bringing the Raptor Center in. So that was a major budgetary change, but it did help us put fundraising in a different position.
Okay. I'll need a motion and a second, please. I have a motion from Mary. Second?
Second.
Second from Mike. Any more discussion?
Question. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Let's see, now I forget where it was, but somewhere in here it talks about fundraising efforts by staff and volunteers. Does that include us, the board?
Yes, I would say yes. Well,
it doesn't.
No, we'll have to talk about that within the fundraising committee or the fund development committee, because we, one of the goals in the fundraising plan is also to bring volunteers into that committee. So once we've got those roles better defined, we may want to incorporate the fund development committee into our bylaws, and we may want to tweak this policy to address some of those issues. But before that happens, I think we do need to get them cleaned up, and then we can come back to them a year from now.
It's a starting place.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, I just have one question. I see we were revising these at least once a year, and now we went 6 years without revising them, and now I heard you say again that we may want to tweak them again. I guess what I'm looking for is that the board gives some continuity or consistency to the staff and not be changing these all the time. So because that to me appears to be quite confusing, I think, as we go along here, the change policy mm-hmm. that often. So I'm just saying, hopefully, we've got the bugs worked out.
Right, I agree. We may need to tweak a couple of them, but even if we brought changes back, it would maybe be to one chapter.
Okay.
It wouldn't be
I see they're
the
all,
whole.
Right.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, a lot of these have to do with the IRS, what they do, because they change rules all the time, and we have to comply with those things, you know, on donations and everything else, and like or hate it, we have to deal with them. But I agree with you, David, you know, an every year thing, it's kind of like you scratch your head, but
yeah.
Hopefully we don't keep that going.
I want to send a good message to the staff.
Well, but that's history.
Well, it is history, today. But we need to make sure we don't keep creating history on these, so.
Right.
Any more discussion?
I make a motion, we blame it on Benton County.
And we have a second motion and a second. Any more discussion? Any more discussion? Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Anything else in new business, Karen?
Mm-mm.
All right. Board open forum. Which way do we want to start? Laura, you have anything to say?
I do not have anything.
No.
Dave? Mary? Dave?
No.
Vera?
So, Zuria.
I'll get it.
I just wanted to invite every one of you, if you want to come, this Thursday is the Green Card Voices exhibition, the formal opening in a sense, where we have the presentation. We will have different storytellers from different posters. We're going to have food, and hopefully it's going to be fun, 6 to 8.
Where is it?
Here, right here.
Here. Yeah. So it's going to be right outside here.
What day is that?
Thursday, 6 to 8.
And I should point out, Zuria's poster is in the stairwell. So if you want to zap the QR code with your phone, you can hear her story. It's lovely.
Oh, cool.
Could you all send right. us an email on that?
Oh, actually, sure. On that day, we are going to line them all up here. So
okay.
if you don't want to go hunting, if you come that day, you can get food, you can meet people, and you can
so
actually see all
starting
the
at 6.
Starting at 6 to 8.
Perfect.
Michael?
Just that I was at Sherbert County's Justice Center open house, and it is a beautiful building. Hopefully you haven't had any bugs. Usually the first week you get glitches.
It's
but
been pretty seamless.
So far smooth.
They
that's great.
They worked hard, the judges and the court administrator. They worked really hard.
Lee?
A couple of weeks ago, the Supreme Court handed down it's being called the Janus decision. And the Janus decision essentially says that involuntary union members, people that would just as soon not belong but are required to pay dues, don't have to do that anymore. Unions can't compel them. Already through MICA, the Benton County, Sherman County, and Stearns County Human Services directors have met and have agreed on a way to handle that situation. My idea might be if you want to be consistent with them, give those human resources directors a call and get a rundown on how they're handling that. And we probably want to do likewise.
We have been in contact with legal counsel on it, okay. But I'll mention that to Julie so that she knows okay. That they're coordinating efforts.
All right.
Nothing.
Jeff, Fran, myself, nothing. I need a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. And next meeting is going to be August 21st.
Well, do we want an August meeting?
Well, we have it written down.
It's a work session. I don't have a specific topic. We could, like, we were talking about bylaws. We could do bylaws. But if you want, we can wait till September, too.
And it's up to you, board members. Yes, no?
I'm going to be out of town that day. I let Patty know that already.
There's not a lot of business.
Sounds like we don't need much here, but again, it's your decision.
Take a month off.
All right, so we'll cancel. Officially, we'll be canceling the August 21st board meeting.
Yeah, we'll blame that on Benton County, too.
No. We're actually looking at not having one meeting in July because just to give a break.
We only have one in July. It'll
be September 8th.
Yep. So then it's going to be September 18th at 5 o'clock, and that's going to be finance.
Yep, and then full board will meet at 6.
We'll bring up to that personnel.
Yeah, we will have personnel.
Yep. So again, September 18th, finance at 5, personnel at 5:30. Board at 6 on the 18th. I have a motion and a second. Those in favor to adjourn.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. It is 6:07:04.